Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 79. Welcome, everybody. This is a special one for one reason. It's a Saturday. And the other reason is that, we are getting ready to brace for a little storm. So we thought we'd go live this this Saturday instead of Sunday. So just throw a hey, howdy out there to everybody. Hope everybody's doing safe, especially down there in South Florida. We're getting ready to get hit later tonight. But we do have Kane here. Kane, how you doing?
It's later on, actually.
Say that. I do apologize. Say that again. What were you saying?
I said cocktails with Kane and Captain Mike on Saturday nights.
Yeah, that's coming later. I've decided not to bring out my beverage because we do our movie.
Yeah,
midnight
I don't
movies,
have mine right now neither.
So. Show on Saturday nights usually, so we're gonna do this and do that. So if you guys are listening to this and watching this week right after this or the Wednesday right after this, we will be dropping John Wick as Kane's selection for the midnight movies for this this week, so make sure you guys check it out. Kane is a major John Wick fan, so I can't wait to see what we cover and talk about on this
one. Oh boy, it's gonna be fun. Check it out.
Yes, sir. Yep. So news wise, I guess I let you go ahead and hit this one first.
Okay. Castlevania showrunner Warren Ellis is reportedly going to be out after season 4, the upcoming season 4, which I think is going to air next year, I believe, but the first three seasons of Castlevania have been well received on Netflix. The first season was only, I think, 6 episodes, and then the next season was 6. No, his first one was 3, then 6. They keep upping the episode count. Anyway, so he's out after season 4. If you guys don't know what a showrunner is, basically he's, if you want to compare it to movie terms, you know, a director and producer on a TV level is kind of like below. And the showrunner basically runs the whole thing. They go to him for any kind of ideas. He basically spews a storyline of whatever season or arc they have. Eric Kripke was a showrunner for Supernatural for 5 seasons. Then he left famously to do other stuff. So kind of a big hit by yeah. When I was sleeping.
I'd equate showrunner to like Kevin Feige is to Marvel.
He lays out
the map of, hey, this is what we're going to do. And then, you know, he gives it to the writers. Say, you guys, we need to get here by this date and do it. Yeah, so that's kind of more what a showrunner is for you Marvel fans.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Foggy. But, yeah, so he's gone after season 4, which I don't know if this means that Castlevania is going to end after season 4 or they keep going. So
a lot of times showrunners bounce out. You know, they came in with their idea, their little, you know, seed of an idea for a show and a couple of episodes, and then they sometimes move on. I mean, a lot of the showrunner, you know, go ahead and move on from their perspective shows and let another group of writers take over. And that's usually when you see some like amazing growth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually, that's what happened with Supernatural, with Kripke left after 5 and Sarah Gamble picked up for a couple seasons. And then I forgot who's doing it now. It's not Robert Singer, it's somebody else, but he's been there since then. So yeah, it's not uncommon for a showrunner to leave, but kind of leaving at the peak of its popularity on Netflix. So, I guess Warren's going to do some comics again, I guess.
Yeah, I was reading that he was getting back into comics. There was a couple of books that he was going to be heading up.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to suck for him leaving, but hopefully he goes out with a bang with season 4, which I think comes out next year sometime. So, Captain?
Well, speaking of Netflix, did you get a chance to check out the Transformers Siege of Cybertron that dropped on Friday?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it, but I'm sure you're going to tell me all about it.
Oh, man, it is so good. For you hardcore 80s babies that are Gen 1 and think, you know, Peter Cullen and Megatron, you know, with Optimus Prime and Frank Welker for Megatron or end all be all. I'm sorry, guys. This is not them. The voice actors did their best, and I thought they did an amazing job. This is a great melding of the G1 and a bit of the IDW books. I think it's a great story. Real quick, simple, six episodes. You're in and out really fast. I was telling one of our friends that she's always complaining about how she's so far backed up on her shows. I was like, listen, this one will take you an hour or an afternoon, I mean, to get through and watch it. So hopefully, you know, she'll get a chance to check it out. But it's really great. Good story. Gives little hints, gives a lot of great Easter eggs to the original show. The one thing I was worried about was, like, they were talking about the AllSpark, and I know you and I had our conversations with it. Now, what is great about this is they've actually implemented where the AllSpark is by itself and the Matrix is by itself. So it's actually, I like the way they've done it. The AllSpark is the sort of the creation of it, the spark that created them, but the Matrix is still there as part of the leadership of the Autobots. So I thought that this was a good mix of both of those worlds.
Interesting. So who has, is Prime still of the Matrix, or is it somebody else? Prime's still
part of the Matrix. There's also a underlining teaching and sort of like spiritualism going around that certain Autobots have a certain part of their life that are part of their life souls that are connected to not just the Matrix, but also to the original leaders. So when you see somebody pass, a sort of Highlander-esque light goes out and it affects the next person that they feel is the next right person to take. Not a leadership role, but not a full leadership role, but yeah, they can be a leadership within the rebellion. So it's really, really,
really
good. Yeah, really good. I like the play on some of the takes they did. You know, not everybody looked exactly like they did. Sound Blaster, I thought, was awesome because Sound Blaster, now they showed Sound Blaster as a prototype of Soundwave, and that he just didn't do as great as he was, or as Soundwave was supposed to be. And I thought that was a really cool twist on it. Like I said, a lot of really good throwbacks for the 80s. But some IDW, I think it was a great blend, and I can't wait to see what more they do.
Time period, does this take place before the Gen 1 series?
Again,
or is it after?
This is not part of Gen 1. Gen 1 is its own thing.
Okay,
you
so
got to realize
it's its own thing.
Gen 1 is its own thing, okay. Because then after that, you have the other cartoons that came around, and they have nothing to do with the Gen 1. Nothing happened.
No. I'm just trying to figure if they gone to Earth yet.
No, not yet. This is all Cybertron.
Okay.
Yeah, we end of we don't know where they went, you know, and but it's not a lead into Gen 1. So don't. That's the one thing I'm trying to warn the Gen 1 fans.
That's what I was thinking. I thought it was a lead into Gen 1.
No.
Okay.
Don't. This is separate. They might go to Earth. We don't know, because when they leave and at the very finale, if that is, you know, if that's what you're thinking as a Gen 1 fan, and that's all you know of Transformers, then you're going to get confused, because some people were still left on Cybertron when they left, and certain people had already turned and changed sides before they left. So it's a lot of so I'm trying to warn all the 80s babies, you grumpy old men right now, you know who you are. Don't go gall, oh, it's not my Gen 1. No, just open your mind and enjoy it. It's a great story. It's not Peter, it's not Frank, but these guys did an amazing job.
Okay, I'll have to check it out then, because I was confused in the timeline. And then I was confused, like, are we going to see, like, you know, Hot Rod and any of those guys there? So I'm guessing we're not.
No, I think a couple of the characters are
like Cup, maybe.
Well, there's a female version of Cup, and I think that's what she is, that she's a representation of Cup.
Okay.
But you're seeing a mix of, again, this, you got to take your mindset out of the Gen 1. You're not in Gen 1. So Cup, Hot Rod, RC, they're not who they were, what you knew. This is a new story, different mixture of characters on Cybertron. We meet Ultra Magnus and RC, but they're not what you think they are. You know, this is a whole new story, whole new story. That's why I keep trying to push that out there, guys. Gen 1 does not have anything to do with this. All right, this is just something complete. This is a different.
I think
telling.
That was one of the big major points that people had. Like, I'm glad you cleared that up, because everybody was, even I thought until you just said it, that it was a lead into Gen 1.
You have to watch
now
it to
it's,
understand
it's not,
that.
It's completely its own thing.
Okay. People just got to step in and watch it. Don't be afraid, guys. It's only an animated toy cartoon. All right, don't take it serious. I'm part of a Facebook group for Transformers, and these guys way too serious. We had to have an intervention with the admin on there, because the people were just like being ridiculous about it. Like, guys, it's a cartoon to sell a toy line. Let it go. It's not what you grew up with. Understand that. Move on. It's new. It's fresh. So
yeah, well, I'll definitely gonna check it out now. I mean, I was before, but now, since it's a whole new beginning, I guess, where they're trying to create a whole new Transformers universe, which sounds like
they did that on every Transformers series, never tied into the other. I think there were two. I think Armada
and one other one. Tied into something.
That was it. Those two only tied into it. Beast Wars sort of tied into Gen 1 a little bit, like literally a minute long scene in one of the later series. So yeah, we don't.
Yeah, I think Armada had Megatron and Galvatron as two separate characters too, didn't
and that's
they?
Yeah, and that's how they that's how it's been for a while. IDW has done the same thing. So, like I said, people hold on to that 80s mindset about it, and
I think that's what
the 80s have given us was three seasons. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours of different animation. We have hundreds and hundreds of comic books of a different storyline that have nothing to do with Gen 1 other than the fact that those characters are there. They don't have the same history. They just have the same names. That's all.
Oh, I'm definitely going to check it out. So,
and
thanks
just,
for clarifying that.
And just so you, and just so you know, you also have to check out Killing Hoff on Netflix. It just dropped today. It's a David Hasselhoff movie about somebody who has David Hasselhoff in his Deadpool list, and he decides that he wants to kill David Hasselhoff. And it's a great, great movie. It's a short movie, but it's awesome. You got to watch it. I watched that today.
I'll have to check that out.
I'm surprised you hadn't jumped onto that one.
No,
I messaged you that this morning. I was like, dude, you have to see Killing Hoff.
The only one that I could recall that was similar to it, probably in tone, was that one Arnold Schwarzenegger movie that came out a couple of years ago. Or I forgot the name of it, where he's supposed to be an assassin. And everybody's trying to kill him. I forgot the name of it.
But no, this is David Hasselhoff playing David Hasselhoff, an over-exaggerated version, a pompous version of him. Very similar, and one of the actors is in it, very similar to the Comic-Con movie. Supercon.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Very similar in that feel. The guy that plays played which one was he? Shoot, I'm trying to remember. One of the actors is in there, but so you also get the a lot of B-level actors. You get the Australian actor that was in Jumanji, that was the NPC guy.
Oh, him! Welcome to Jumanji.
Yeah, he's in there. He's hysterical. You get Kim. I can never remember the gentleman's last name. He's a doctor, but he's been in all the Hangover movies. Did you die? That guy.
Oh yeah, him.
He's the one that every year he plays David Hasselhoff in his Deadpool, and finally he's like he's at the breaking point. His life is just completely falling apart. He's like, that's it. I'm gonna kill him. I'm just gonna kill him, and get my life together and collect the money, because if David Hasselhoff died, he would have won like $500,000 in the Deadpool.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so, and it's on Netflix now.
It's
right?
on Netflix. Came out today. Okay. In fact, I had to get this one. This is a song from it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's no True Survivor, but it's good.
No. Oh, I don't know.
Nothing beats True Survivor. That is gold. I'm sorry, kids. If you've ever seen me perform True Survivor, that song is that's my go-to song.
That is a new Netflix movie. So, guys, make sure you check that out. I mean, we got nothing going on. Just enjoy it. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's quite all right. I was interested. I'll have to check Killing Hoff out. Guess what? They're making a Green Hornet animated series. Now, to me, this doesn't really do anything for me. But however, when I heard the name attached to it, Kevin Smith is going to do a Green Hornet series. And if you've never seen or heard any of Kevin's podcasts or web videos on YouTube, he is a huge Green Hornet fan. Huge. Like, going back to the old school series, not that awful movie, which, you know, it had some moments, but I just thought Seth Green was miscast in Seth Green. Seth Rogen was miscast in that movie. Sorry, just try that tongue twister. But yeah, he's been commissioned. He's going to do an animated series. Let's see. I'm trying to see. Yep. Basically, the animation company is going to be the same animation company that the Batman, the animated series, Heavy Metal, and the Super Friends. So, Kevin Smith is going to do a Green Hornet series. It's no release date as of yet, but he is going to be working on it. And he's a big fan of it too. So I think this is a win-win-win.
Yeah, he is a huge fan of it. When I saw this, I was like, okay, now this makes total sense. I mean, he's at that point in his career where he can pretty much, you know, say, hey, you know, I kind of like to knock this out. I like to do this. He doesn't ever want to. I know he said it a bunch of times. He never wants to do any of the big movies because he just doesn't want to answer to anybody above him. He just wants to be able to get in and do his movie. And I think that's the best thing for him to do. To do this one, because it'll be fun for him.
Yeah. Plus, the Green Hornet doesn't really have a huge legacy, so he could pretty much play around with the history, you know, add some things, add some nuances and some Kevin Smith nuances, as they say. It'll be interesting to see, especially coming from his mind. And I think he needs a break from, you know, his Viewskew kind of universe and do something else out of his element.
He's doing He-Man, Masters of the Universe right now.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like ever since he got announced, he's doing He-Man, now he's doing this. So it's good to see him to get away from his little world and, like, you know, doing somebody else's world, basically playing with other people's toys, as he would say. So I'm definitely stoked to check this out. Like I said, no release date or anything, but I'm just gonna wonder how he has all the time to do it. He's doing, like you said, he's doing He-Man. I think he's Moose Jaws is something else he's doing as well. He's got that Kilroy.
Oh, that one's just that one's coming out. That one's he's been working on for years. That one he's been doing with, I believe it's, I'm trying to remember the name of the company or the school in Tampa. There's a school, a film school out in Tampa. He's been filming that one for years. He's talked about that, that he was filming that way before his heart attack.
Yeah.
And he would go in and they would film a few episodes, a few, you know, scenes here and there. And then he'd leave and go off and do whatever he had to do. And then he'd go back. And then he's been going back and forth. I think this is the one that's going to have Chris Jericho in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of cameos in the movie that he was talking about. So yeah, that's that one I've been looking forward to because it's just a horror movie. It's something a little out of his realm, but it's also it's something that he's been helping these kids with. You know, he's going out there. He's literally sitting there telling them, okay, well, if you want to do that scene, this is what you kind of have to do to make that scene happen. And he's letting them go off. So I think it's a great mentoring, you know, initiative for him.
Can you imagine those kids like on set? You're basically studying film and you have Kevin Smith right there saying, hey, no, you know, just do this. Maybe that'll work out a little bit better. And basically you're getting free training from Kevin Smith.
Yep. Yeah. And that's all these kids were all around him, you know, pre-heart attack, post-heart attack. They've had different, you know, different classes coming in and out. You know, he was talking about, you know, how he'd run over to like a burger joint or something and buy, you know, 100 burgers. And people are like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, here's the money. Just give me the burgers. I got a group of people that are hungry. And he, you know, ground. He said he was basically there as an assistant, as assistant director. You know, he'd make the runs for people, go get coffee for people and just be there to support. But to get the attention that the movie needs is to, you know, to get his name on it. Was the main reason for
that. I think it was a smart move too. And I saw the trailer. I like it. I dig it. And he said it was very like an anthology, like a creep show type thing. Yep. And you could see it too. Like it's basically, I mean, if you guys have never watched Creep Show, I mean, check it out. It's been out for like over 100 years, but Creep Show basically is an anthology of films in one film, but it has one character. It's like kind of like the Through Point, kind of like when we did,
the Trick or Treat.
We would Trick or Treat, Trick or Treat. I know there's two. There's another show movie that we haven't done yet that I think we might do, the Gene Simmons movie, but
that's a trick and trick or treat. That one's a
trick or treat.
Yeah.
We should do that one, but, yeah, so he's doing this and I cannot wait. So Captain, what do you got for us?
Well, this one's been the elephant in the room this week, and it seems like this has become a trend. Old cast members coming out and complaining about directors.
Yeah, this is a big thing going on, especially this one.
Brian Singer, according to this, says X-Men 2 cast reportedly threatened to quit over failed Hugh Jackman stunt. I guess he was doing something. He was bleeding on camera, and I guess he was saying that, you know, you just got to keep pushing through and getting it done. There's some actors and some directors that are that way. I mean, probably one of the more, I think I would consider a more famous one is the scene in Django with DiCaprio when he's sitting at the dining room table and he smashes his hand on the table and starts yelling and you see him start bleeding. That was an accident.
Yeah, it was a little improv.
He just kept rolling. So did the director and just capture. And you get those moments. You get those great. Look for them everywhere. You can find them on Lad TV or anywhere on Facebook or YouTube where you're going to find these videos of, the deleted scenes that they kept because they just captured something great because somebody messed up, but it just kept going. And so I don't know if that was the case here or if this is more something deeper and darker. We haven't heard anything more about any other cast, you know, or any other movies of him, you know, being this way. Not like we've been hearing about Josh Whedon the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You haven't heard, I think the last movie that he did, he did a majority of Bohemian Rhapsody. That's his film.
Yeah.
people don't even realize that. You heard some things. That's why he got dismissed from that set and somebody else took over. But yeah, this is kind of like the first. You've heard like a lot of rumors about Singer, but nothing concrete. And again, this is something that just came out. I'm not going to take it factually yet until like Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen says, yes, you know, I was treated badly by Brian Singer. He came into my dressing room. He saw me naked or something like that. I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know, until there's more meat, you know, it's basically another Josh Whedon thing. Somebody else bitching about something. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And but yeah, that's just another one coming up. So hopefully we'll get an end to this. Hopefully this isn't becoming a trend. I know we've ran into the whole thing with what's his face, you know, the head of Miramax.
Oh, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, yeah, Weinstein. Yeah. So hopefully this isn't something that's going to be coming out, and you know, continuing.
I hope not. I really hope not. I mean, some things, you know, you just, you know, if you get in an argument with somebody and it's bad, just best to leave it behind closed doors and let's get, you know, really out of control. But
or you can turn into a Christian Bale scene. You know, it's all up to you.
It's up to you. Oh, do I go next?
Yeah, it's your turn. Actually, I want to send a quick hello to Lopez. Thanks for checking in, Lopez. I saw your message there. So sorry, we're live on Facebook and we got a little shout out.
Hey, hello, Lopez.
So, all right,
how you doing?
Go right ahead.
This next story, I guess we were talking about in the green room for like a couple seconds actually. But you know, Ron Howard confirmed that Lucasfilm isn't developing a solo Star Wars sequel story. Wow. I guess like you said, to quote you, they wouldn't tell him anyway if they did, because he was basically the reason it bombed.
When I initially said that, I thought bad about it when I said it, but it's not that he bombed.
It's true, though.
But no, it's the same thing that happened with Justice League. You look back at Justice League, I think Justice League failed because it had a step-parent director, so to speak. You had the first one that started, and then you had the second one that kind of stepped in to finish it up. Same thing happened here with Solo. You know, you had the initial one, then you had Ron Howard to step in. He's picking up the pieces of something that wasn't his dream, his passion play. So I think it's just that, but I think there's not going to be a movie. There is too much coming down the pike right now of them talking about Disney Plus and doing something on Disney Plus. So yeah, they're probably not going to do a movie sequel. They'll probably do something, either a movie on Disney Plus or just a show, you know, just a one season show, knock it out. Say, hey, here it is. We've already seen rumors of Childish Gambino, you know, he's still in talks and wanting to return as Lando.
Which he should. He was fantastic as Lando. And you know,
Landau or Lando?
Lando or Landau? Not Martin Landau. Lando. I don't know what I was saying. But yeah, I think they're going to go the Disney Plus way and do it that way. I think it's a smarter move. I don't think, like, I think we talked before ad nauseum, I don't think Star Wars is going to be back in the big screen for a while.
No, and they've already, yeah, and they talked about that second.
Yeah.
The second the last one dropped, they're like, yeah, we're not going to be back for a while, guys. And it's not because of the performance. It was just that was their plan.
Yeah, to take a break, you know, make people miss Star Wars on the big screen. And then meanwhile, you have this little app called Disney Plus where you have the Mandalorian on there, and you've got some shows that may or may not be dropping soon, like Obi-Wan and the Cassian Andor series, I think, is going to be in production pretty soon. And now this, I mean, I don't know what they're going to call it if they do this Lando series, but rest assured, I think, you know, I think Han Solo will show up in a couple episodes, maybe a little arc. So
we should. We should have that and have Kira and see. And you know,
definitely Kira. Yeah, maybe Maul will show up. I don't know.
Well, funny you mentioned Maul, because actually one of my stories is the rumor mill that Lucas is not going to be bringing back Ray Park to play Maul, even though he's still in great shape. I saw a video of him not that long ago. You know. Still doing some flippies, but mostly it's something that he apparently had posted on, I think it was Instagram.
Yeah,
and they're saying that, you know, most likely. But then we did see something about, I think it was yesterday, that Ray Park's wife came out and said something about, you know, hey, no, we're cool, don't worry about it. But that's something that, you know, they're going to look into. I mean, they can get away without it. You know, it's really, and I hate to say this, but I mean, it's really Sam Whitworth really that sells them all. The physical performance is great, but it's really that vocal performance that really does it for me personally.
And Ray Park hasn't really done anything since
G.I. Joe, I think.
He hasn't done much.
He may. I mean, again, he is a stunt guy. He's not known for being big stunt, or as far as like being known out there. We don't get a listing of, you know, all the stunt guys that are doing something. So he may be in other movies. The last one I can remember him in was in the G.I. Joe series.
Yeah, that's all I remember him from. And he hasn't done Star Wars since The Phantom Menace. So,
and I don't know if I don't think he was the one up for playing G.I. Snake Eyes in the movie, the solo movie they're talking about doing.
No, I think somebody else is playing him. I forgot, Henry something. He's playing Snake Eyes, but you know, that's got to be a great paycheck because, you know, you don't have to learn any lines. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, just sit there and, as long as they don't do that horrible mask again, I'll be okay.
Actually, the one in the second one was better than the first one, though.
Yeah, well, they lost the lips. That was like, I mean, it was still sort of there. It was still sort of there, but it was more. It was more subtle. I don't know why they didn't just go with a mask, the mask that he normally has. You know, it was just a standard mask with a couple of breathing holes. And
if you see Black Noir and The Boys, that's basically Snake Eyes' mask.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Why, I don't know why they didn't just go like that. I mean, like the whole lip thing was.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Yeah, it was, so
yeah. Okay, the guy doesn't talk, but you're gonna give him lips.
And I never quite understood that. I don't think enough people caught that either.
The hardcore G.I. Joe guys were all like, "What the f- is that?"
Because I don't think you see it in like one. There's like one scene where you really see it. It's pronounced. I'm like, "What is that?"
Yeah,
I don't know. Just odd. Just bring back some nightmares anyway.
Yeah, it does. But, yeah. So my one actually Universal. And AMC have you heard about this one?
Yeah,
have they've made an unprecedented agreement for VOD deal. Basically, they're going to shorten the time that a movie is out into the theaters and get it to video on demand a lot quicker, which I thought was very interesting. Especially
kind of like what you said a while back. That's basically the same thing you were saying, and kind of like a. Different way, but
right. Well, I mean, in the world that we're in now, I mean, I know you hate the term, but the new normal is guess what? It's the new normal. It's you can hate the name.
It's not your fault. It's not you. It's just I cannot stand that new normal. It just bugs me.
Come up with a better name, and then we'll start using that. but basically, I mean, yeah, because you're gonna have short. You're not gonna have the expanded time out in the theaters like you were before. You're not going to have that 3 weeks to a month. Of a movie sitting out there having people go in and go in because you're just going to have a lower number of people automatically going in. That's just a given. Everything, even though it's going to get cleared out and you're still going to have some people that just don't want to take the chance. You've got the worry warts and that's fine with them. Let them be the worriers and do what they're doing. I think this will be cool. And then, you know, what they're looking at is under the new agreement, AMC will get a chunk of the VOD sales, which are now required to be premium rentals that hover around the $20 range or for 24-hour span. That's the one I'm like, oh, man, $20.
Dude, I
can go between 10 to 15 for a premiere.
Yeah.
Rental?
Even 16, but 20? Yeah. I mean, you're basically – you could buy the movie when it comes out.
Exactly. That's like, okay, I'll wait 3 months. Because really, when you look at how quickly DVDs are coming out and how quickly they're coming out into the streaming services to buy, like through Vudu or Amazon, you're talking 3-4 months. I'll wait. If it's a Marvel movie, a DC movie, yeah, okay, I'm gonna go and do that. But I'm not one of the ones they're gearing towards, because I'm gonna be one of those ones that's gonna go to the theater. I'm gonna go. I'll wear my mask. I'll sit, you know, in my little corner, but anything else, yeah, that's a kind of a steep one.
Yeah, 20 is a little bit pricey. I mean, the idea is good. But just lower the price down. Come on, $16. We got to eat, guys. Come on, 20. That's just. I know they want to make their money back, but come on, guys. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, and it also says AMC Theaters is only requiring Universal to have a 17-day exclusive on theater releases before the studio can release them through VOD. So it's not a bad idea. Yeah, to about two and a half weeks, they'll have only straight rights to it, and then it'll go out to everybody else. It's just a matter of time. I think you'll might even see. They probably are working on it now. An app or a streaming service for AMC. You know, AMC is one of the biggest ones. I mean, you do have AMC, you have Regal right behind it, but that's not a bad idea to start doing that. So then you guys are getting their money's worth. I don't know if they're going to, most people aren't going to have, most of those other ones aren't going to have the money like AMC is, but.
No, but I think it'd be a good idea though, especially right now. I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, they did this ticket program. I think our friend is involved in it. I think you know what I'm talking about. They launched this program. I think it's been out for a couple of years, and it was a newer program of like something like monthly tickets. Something.
Yeah, our friend. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, one of our not my usual movie going buddy, but another one of our acquaintances, DJ, one of our DJ friends. Him and his wife are doing that. And when we were talking about it, he says it just wasn't worth it for the money that they were getting back and the movies that were offered. It just wasn't worth the time for it.
Yeah, I don't think they poured a lot of money into it. And then when the whole COVID thing hit, they lost a lot of money. So now they're trying to recuperate.
Well,
some
they of
those
were
funds.
Losing money last year for it. The ticket feature with AMC, they were already losing a lot of money because I remember reading last year before this all broke that they were keeping it around because people had like paid in advance, but they just weren't getting what they wanted out of it.
Mm-hmm. No. Let's see what they're going to do. Hopefully, I mean, I'm just glad that Universal's back in the AMC fold again. I mean, they're like, you know, they're at war for a while. So it's just nice that they kissed and made up. That's very nice. Yep.
Money will do that for you. So what do you got next?
Well, I think we talked about this a while ago. They were talking about doing a Dread series. It was going to be called Mega City 1. And rumors were that Carl Urban's going to reprise his role as Dread. However, in another news thing that I have here, Rebellion CEO Jason Kingsley expressed the team behind the series is working hard to make it happen, and they would like Sylvester Stallone to be involved as well. I want there to be a sequel to Dredd along with Judge Dredd from Sylvester Stallone.
I mean, I can see that. Dredd's always been a bit of a clone-ish in his style, you know, and there are other judges out there.
I was just thinking if you're gonna bring, like, Carl has to be Dredd.
Oh yeah.
But if you want to bring Sly back, make him Judge Death. Yep. They haven't done Judge Death yet, right?
No.
That's an option. Or what was the role that this guy played before he passed away? Like the high counselor leader, he could be that. I mean,
yeah, the high judge, I think, is what he was.
The high judge, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. It's a lot grittier world. It's not the, you know, the flashy world that his Judge Dredd was in, but I mean, he's a different character, sure. I just don't want him playing Dredd. Carl Urban is Dredd to me. Sorry. I mean,
well, now, just so you know, this is still Mega City 1 they're working on, by the way.
It's still going to be Mega City 1. Basically, we can't go into production because of the whole situation, but they have scripts and everything ready to go. So I guess they've been working on this for a while. So this is probably something that they've had on their heads for a while as well. So this is probably nothing new.
Yep.
Well, I mean, again, it's just dropping now, but I'm just saying they probably had this in their minds. And they probably wrote him in already.
So. Well, no, they haven't even got, they're still in talks with him. They want him. There's no, I'm looking at the article right now and saying Carl's saying has expressed his desire to return to the role in the past, but it's hard to say if Stallone would be interested as a return. So they're not even, it's not even like definite with Stallone. They're just would like him to do it.
That'd be nice if they did, but you know, as long as he doesn't play Dredd, then I'm fine. I don't want two Dredds out there. Just saying.
Why? The whole clone thing worked last time. I mean, I don't see why that one. Too soon? Was that too soon for you?
Too soon, man. Too soon. Too soon.
Well, I was talking about tonight, after we get done doing this, our live show here, we're going to be doing our midnight movie show. And make sure you guys do check out our Midnight Movie podcast. If you guys go to our website, heroesasylum.com, page one, very top thing, is the Midnight Movies link and all of our shows on there, as well as the rest of these shows. But we're doing John Wick tonight, and this news story kind of falls in line. Splinter Cell TV series from John Wick writer is coming to Netflix. It's official. The Splinter Cell is coming to Netflix. The beloved action game franchise is being given a TV adaptation at Netflix, thanks to writer Derek Kolstad. You may not know Kolstad's name, but he is the writer behind Keanu Reeves' John Wick's film. This is coming from Variety, so not a fly-by-night little website that we're finding this on. Fortunately for fans, the Splinter Cell series won't be a one-and-done kind of thing. Netflix has reportedly already given the series 2 seasons, 16-episode commitments. Splinter Cell will be stylized as an adult animation, though no other details about the show have been revealed. So, something to look forward to if you guys are a Tom Clancy fan or the games and everything. I was a big fan of the original. I think really good. I'm trying to remember where I broke off of that. I think Splinter Cell was like because it was originally, wasn't it like, trying to remember the video game series, and then Splinter Cell was part of like the part of this one series.
I thought it was part of Metal Gear, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not Metal Gear. It's another one.
It was another one.
Yeah, so I tried to. I'm just drawing a complete blank right now, and I can actually see the cover of it too.
Yeah, you'll probably get it in a couple minutes. It's just the tip of your tongue. But I played the games. I think there was 2 or 3 games they had for the PlayStation, and the games.
They're talking Splinter Cell 2002 went on to spawn 6 sequels. And six sequels and seven novels to go along with it. So that's
excuse me. Wow, 6. I only played 3 of them. I didn't know they made 3 more after that.
You're probably looking. I think there was also like one for like the PSP. You're gonna have like there's a couple of sub games out there. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I like the whole world that Splinter Cell has to offer. A very Clancy-esque, more like intrigue. And I just remember the game, you get to sneak up on people and with the little visors and all that, and you get to snipe and stuff. So it'll be cool. I know Tom Hardy was attached to do it for a long time, but I guess they're going to go the route of the streaming service series, which is not a bad move nowadays. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah.
Definitely. So speaking of streaming series, the Lord of the Rings series that's going to come to Hulu, according to this new report, the classic Tolkien characters Sauron, Gadriel, and Elrond will appear in the Lord of the Rings TV show. The show will be based on Tolkien's wilder mythology of Middle-earth and not a direct adaptation of the events depicted in the novels and the films by Peter Jackson. The plot is going to focus instead on the events of the Second Age of Middle-earth, which I'm stoked. I guess you're sort of like my favorite word, tangentially connecting the movies. But according to this, they said they're not going to be held to it. So they're going to be able to all do their own thing.
Well, you got to realize Tolkien's got a lot of books, and not just Tolkien, but his son. Have a lot of books. You have the Silmarillion. You have I'm trying to remember all of them.
There's a couple.
You have Tales of Isildur. You have I want to say there's got to be at least 6 books out there. So I bet you. They're not tying into it to the Hobbit, and they're not tying into Lord of the Rings, the trilogy. I bet you they're tying into some of the lores that you have set up in the other books. That to me that doesn't seem like a stretch. The main books that most people know about, they're going to probably avoid those, but hit the other ones, which will be fine with me. I'm a huge Tolkien fan, huge fantasy fan when it comes to that style. I think it's some of the fantasy stuff is a little sometimes too over the top, too magical, too wizardy. Sometimes, and I think he did a great job and kept it very basic. And again, it's when you read Tolkien, you're really looking at his telling of the coming of the Industrial Age with the people that are still the agrarian folks that, were out in the farms. And that's basically what the whole storyline is, the orcs are the Industrial Age and the hobbits and the humans the elves. Are the more agrarian folks, and that's basically the backstory of it. And right now, I think that story could really hit home because there's a lot of that going right on right now, and I think in the culture, You know, there's still a lot of people that are still holding on to the old ways and fighting the new. And I have my moments. I've tried to, when I do have my moments, I fight myself. I say, stop being so closed-minded and move forward. And I think this is the best thing. And I think it's something that a lot of people should see and open their minds to, you know, to that. Hey, you don't be stuck that way. You have to change. You have to be constantly moving and adapting. Don't be doing that.
Sorry.
Beating yourself up.
I just hit my knee for some reason. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Totally 100%. And I do like this world too. I didn't like the Hobbit films, the prequels. I thought they stretched it out way too far. Didn't need to go to three films. Could have been just a one and done, or even two. But bringing back some, you know, familiarity to characters that you know is never a bad thing. And the second age. So, like I said, they'll be able to play with stuff, and you'll get to see Sauron probably in physical form. I guess that's the big thing that I got out of this. You're not going to see some giant eye in the sky. You'll actually get to see him as a man.
And you'll see some recurring characters as well.
Yeah. So, and it's an expensive series. So they're putting money into this. So, it's not cheap. So, I don't think production has started yet, but, I guess look for it sometime. Do they say there's no release date here? I'm going to venture to guess probably late 2021, early 2022.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I think next year is when they're, I mean, they've been talking about doing this and kicking this around for so long. Then, of course, the pandemic hit, so.
Yeah, and then everything got shut down, so. Captain, what you got?
This one is Batwoman star teases at the DC fandom is going to blow fans' minds. For those of you that have been watching us and hearing us, we do know we had Comic-Con last weekend. And because of, you know, COVID, obviously they can't do the normal Comic-Con and the conventions. And then what they're doing is they've decided to do DC. Warner Brothers has decided to do their own online con. And that's going to take place, I think end of August. I don't have the dates here. But that's going to be towards the end of August. And they are going to do, you know, it's going to be WB, DC, comics, TV, everything you can think of that's DC and Warner Brothers. It's going to be there. It's a one-day convention, so you know you got to sit down. I think it's on a Saturday, and you're just going to watch it. But this is kind of cool because they're talking. You know, it was the new Batman or that Batwoman star. She had recently tweeted, you know, that the fans will surely be fans will be excited about this and everything that entails. And or not him? No, it's not her. I do apologize. This is Cameras. This is the gentleman that plays Luke Fox. But he tweeted this on Thursday. But there's something interesting that followed it, and I thought you would have liked this. The interesting Johnson's tweet was echoed by Krypton star Wallace Day, who responded, "Cool, right?" As in, you know, with a question mark. And there's talks that Krypton might not be gone. Why would you bring Krypton's actors to this con?
You think they might bring it back to HBO Max?
Why not? They're hurting for product. Why not move Krypton over, show the first two seasons on it again?
And do it, yeah.
And then pick up after this is over. It's very interesting to see that, you know, because of the way that they were he was talked about it. But additionally to the Batwoman, the fandom will feature content tied to Aquaman, Batman, obviously, Batwoman, Black Lightning, the DC superhero girls, DC's Legends, DC's Star Girl, Doom Patrol, The Flash, Harley Quinn, which Harley Quinn is actually debuting now in HBO, by the way, folks, if you haven't gotten a chance to catch. Check it out.
It was supposed
to go.
Really good.
It was supposed to go to Sci-Fi, but they switched over to HBO. Which when I saw they were going to Sci-Fi, I'm like, what the?
Yeah, that was strange. I'm glad they corrected that. I'm like, come on.
Then we're gonna have Lucifer, Pennyworth. Stars are gonna be there. Shazam, the Snyder Cut, obviously. The Suicide Squad, Supergirl, Superman, and Lois. Titans. Sorry, Watchmen, Young Justice, The Outsiders. And this coming fall to theaters worldwide, of course, will be Wonder Woman. So, if you guys are DC
fans, a lot of stuff. Probably more stuff on that than we had in Comic-Con.
I think if you really sat down and looked at Comic-Con, Comic-Con had quite a bit.
But like DC, like, you know, DC wasn't even on there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, other than if you take it out to the fact that DC wasn't there, Marvel wasn't there, Disney wasn't there. Yeah, I mean, those big ones there that are there. I thought it was hysterical. I wish I was trying to find the numbers. I was trying to look for them. But Variety makes a comment, that Comic-Con was a bust. And
I harsh.
I disagreed with that because the thing they were saying, the reason they consider it a bust is because if you looked at the social media activity for the weekend, there wasn't enough about Comic-Con in there. Well, of course there wasn't, because everybody and their mother had access to see it. So nobody had to tweet about it.
Mm-hmm.
Beforehand, it's, oh my God, there's only 800 people in this room and they're only the only ones seeing this. Guess what? Tweets are going out, Facebook posts, Instagram, everybody's talking about it. Those 800 people are now, you know, sending it out to the rest of the world. Now everybody could see it. So of course you're not going to get, it's not going to have the major tweets. The numbers I did read about it was saying that they did have almost double or triple the audience that they normally would have had, you know, and that's, so to me, it's not a bust. You had more eyes on the panels than before. And actually this week, I took my time this week and I just rewatched a whole bunch of different panels that I missed that some, I didn't even see them on the list that you and I were going through. You know, there were a couple
a couple
of
different ones that showed up. Yeah. I haven't rewatched the whole things, but there's some panels that popped up on YouTube that I started watching. I'm like, well, this isn't bad. Like, to say it was a bust, that's. Yeah.
And
that's
they're
a
saying
harsh.
It's a bust from the social media point of view. And the only thing I can equate to is nobody was there, so nobody's sharing anything. We all saw it. So I kind of scratched my head on when I saw that one. So.
Yeah, that's a little. Yeah. I mean, bust. Come on. They had some good stuff on there. Come on, that's even. I didn't think it was great, but they had some good stuff on there. Bus is just way too harsh. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
All right. So what do you have next?
So we got the trailer this week for the DC animated movie, Death in the Family. And if you read the original Death in the Family, which I did. Back of the comic book, they gave you the option after this ending the spoilers. There's an explosion. Does Robin live? Does Robin die? And they gave you a little 1-800 number. Do you want Robin to live or do you want Robin to die? This trailer comes out and basically is trying to echo, I guess, the same thing, being a more interactive story, which three different possible endings. You're going to get one ending with the Red Robin, another one with Hush. And another one with the Under the Red Hood movie. I had to see this trailer a couple times. The animation is cool and everything like that. But the whole interactive thing, I'm just not digging it.
Why?
I don't like it.
Well,
yeah,
you get to see whatever movie you want to see. I don't see what you're...
I know, I just... Like, I was
hoping... You were literally getting three movies in one.
Yeah, but one I already saw.
Okay, so then see the other two.
I don't know. I just the whole thing, like the what a could have, should have, like if he survived, he became this. If he's dead, he became that. Like, I don't know. It just I was hoping for, I guess, expectations. I was hoping for a straight adaptation of Death in the Family, and then maybe
you're
the movie
never
ends the way.
Get, why even put yourself up for failure off the
I
bat?
Know.
It's why
just,
do you
it was
even
me.
Think?
That's what I thought, you know. And I thought that's what I was getting because I was like, oh, okay, so you're going to end that, and then I could basically watch Under the Red Hood right afterwards. Kind of like when I watched Rogue One, I came home and watched New Hope right away.
And you can do that.
I know. It's just I don't like the whole interactive ending thing. It just irks me. It's just a me thing. If you guys love it, that's great. But for me.
Remember, folks, I talked about people that don't want to change or afraid of change. We're looking right at them.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Well, you're getting your movie. You are getting your movie, but then you're also getting the chance. Okay, this is the perfect scenario of everything that you and I do. The basis of this show of what ifs. This movie is a what if in a nutshell. Man, wouldn't that be cool instead it went this way? That's what you're getting, and you're going to see it. It's not us sitting there talking about it and trying to imagine it in our head. We're actually getting it. And I love the fact that this animation matches up with Red Hood.
Yeah,
like,
that's the one thing
I
said. Yes. I
was like, holy cow, this is awesome. This is a prequel. We don't have the guess. Obviously, it's not part of the DC overall animated universe because that's reset, you know, with the new Superman movie. But this is a continuation of that, and I think it's great. And it looks like basically all they did is they just put over the Red Hood over the or the Red Robin over the Red Hood costume and kind of followed that. So
yeah, and you got the same voice actors coming back. You got Jason Amaro coming. Not Jason Amaro. I'm sorry, Bruce Greenwood, John DiMaggio. Yeah, they're all coming back. And Vincent Martelliella, well, he's going to be the voice of the young Jason Todd. So he's coming back. So everybody else is coming back. You're exactly like I said. I love the animation. It's basically the same. The voice cast is the same. It's going to take me a while to warm up to the whole interactive thing.
Then just watch one. That's all you got to do. Just watch one.
Okay. Should I watch one, do a watch along to that, and then report back? Yeah, I think I'll just probably do that. Hey, I like this. No, I don't.
Now, this also not just part of a standalone by itself, by the way. This is also going to include a collection part of the DC showcase. Because this is not a standalone movie. This is a DC showcase. If you're familiar with the DC showcases, you had Sergeant Rock, Adam Strange, Death, Death is probably one of my favorite ones.
I haven't seen the Death one.
I posted it on Facebook a couple times. Watch it, dude. Really good.
Arrow one was really good too.
Maybe we'll watch it later tonight.
I'll have to check that one out. You told me about it. He's like the magician guy.
The Phantom Stranger.
Oh, the Phantom Stranger.
Yeah, which
Phantom
I was just
Stranger.
Getting ready to get to next. These all came out in 2019. Sergeant Rock, Adam Strange, Death, and Phantom Stranger. And then this one. And these will all be kind of tied into this DVD, the way this is worded.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Well,
and again, of course, DVDs, there's a whole bunch of other showcase ones. The other showcase ones are shorter. There's one for the Spectre. There's one for Green Arrow. But yeah, these are the newer ones are really a little bit darker, grittier than what you're used to.
Very gritty.
Yeah, I mean,
when you look,
like I said, Sergeant Rock, Adam Strange, Death, and Phantom Stranger, those aren't your happy-go-lucky characters.
Oh no! Some bad stuff happens in those movies. Trust me.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, man, just watch it. And if you don't want to watch the other versions, don't watch the other versions. Then just do what you just said.
You know that.
You just watch it. Just watch up to the point you said you wanted to, and then you move on from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no release date on here.
I thought I saw October.
Oh, October. Yes, right. October's coming out. So look for that on VOD and DVD. Captain, what do you got?
Well, this one, actually, I'm stepping into your territory, so I hope you don't mind.
No,
I don't mind if I'm stepping on you. EA hints at possible acquisition of WB Games. So this is EA has hinted at the possible acquisitions for that, which is reportedly up for sale. The WB Games are being AT&T's putting that up for sale. AT&T's trying to lighten their load a little bit, I guess. But they could possibly inherit the studios of NetherRealm Studios, Rocksteady, TT Games, and of course Montreal, the Warner Brothers Montreal.
WB Montreal, yep. Yeah.
So I mean, there is a chance of that. They have pulled money. They're likely looking at $2 to $4 billion for the acquisition. But this would be an interesting acquisition for them because then they would hold the rights to a lot of characters.
Tons of characters.
If you could think of any of the Mortal Kombat games, or I mean, just to include those characters in there. I mean, they'll still have to get the rights to the characters, but they have the ability to make them. And I think it might be good for WB because, like you've even mentioned it, WB Games hasn't been all that great lately.
Mm-mm. So. They've had ideas, which are promising, but nothing yet has come to fruition. That's the only issue I've had. Like, they'll release, like, hey, they're going to make this game. Like, they've been talking about making a Superman game forever. And they just don't do it. And then
Superman's a tough game to do.
I read something so stupid. I'm like, oh, he's a hard character to make for a game. Like, how is he hard?
Do you remember the Superman Returns game?
Oh man.
Okay, thank you. And do I need to say anything more? Actually, one of my coworkers worked on that game, and he talked about how painful the making, being part of the game, making process was, and how upset they were. Yeah, you say. It's an easy game to make, but when with the products we've seen for Superman as a game, not that great.
Oh,
I mean, not that great.
You can do it nowadays.
But look at the history we've got. Well, all we've had are scrolls, side-scrolling games. Probably the best side-scrolling game I think they've ever had was The Death of Superman. You know.
Yeah.
Other than that, the rest have just been kind of, you know, and that's, and again, it's one of those things. If you keep trying to make it, keep trying to make it, and you're not making it good, eventually you got to say stop. All right. And it's the same rules I have for it with a certain Marvel property. You just, it hasn't been hitting. Might, may not be something that we should put into this genre. You know, maybe it shouldn't be a game. Maybe it shouldn't be a movie. We've tried it enough times. Maybe this isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, and it actually coincides that they announced this week, to jump on that same news story, that they're going to do another Injustice game. So I wonder if this has anything to do with it as well. Like, you know, EA, I mean, EA's big. I mean, they did all the Madden games for years. They did the college games before they got rid of them for some stupidity. I don't know what happened. They still have that building here in Maitland, don't they? The EA building?
It's here. I don't know how much they do in it, if it's just their name on the building anymore, but that's the building that's the building where Superman Returns was made.
Yeah. So they're getting all those titles plus the launch of the PS5 and Xbox Live later this year.
This is a good acquisition.
This is a good acquisition. Yeah.
It's still a possibility. They haven't signed up. I mean,
it's a woulda, coulda, shoulda, but if it does happen, EA steering the ship. And EA knows what they're doing. I mean, like us, and having these titles with new guys, basically you have new cooks in the kitchen, breathe new life. Maybe we do get that good Superman game that I have been wanting for a long time. So nothing but goodness, as they would say.
Definitely. But,
I'm done. That's all I have.
Is that the last of it? Let me make sure.
Yeah,
I think that was everything for me as well. We talked about the Transformers. I think I talked about Comic-Con. Let's play this for a moment. All right, sorry. I thought I'd get some time.
If you're going to play that, you got to play the other one, too.
That's the only one I have queued up. Sorry, man.
Okay, well, you're going to have to put the other one in the files in there to check that out. So.
All right, yeah, now that looks like that is it, folks. So for Heroes Asylum this week, guys, that is it. Of course, you know, like I said, the hurricane is coming our way. So Sunday we won't have it. We'll probably get this released probably a Monday or Tuesday on the podcast, so you guys can listen to it audio. But we're going to try this. Guys, throw us a message on here. You guys can watch it whenever you want. Since you are, you know, we do have quite a few Facebook listeners or followers. So if you guys like this, want us to do it at a different time, a different night, or not a different night, sorry, but at a different time and make it, you know, easier for live, you know, just let us know. Just hints of what you guys would like to see us try, see us do. We're always open to suggestions. And do you got anything else, sir?
No, but if you would like to, you know, get in contact with us more, check out our social media, Twitter at the Heroes Asylum Podcast and Instagram at the Heroes Asylum, Facebook page, the Heroes Asylum and the Heroes Asylum Podcast. I've been posting some cool stuff on the pages and everybody's interacting. I love it. I find these images about these, you know, who would you team up with if you got caught by this guy? And the responses have been heavy and I love it. A lot of conversation going on in them. So do check it out. And I guess from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum.